You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Acts. Book of Acts. We certainly thank the Lord. That's real hot. Thank the Lord for the privilege to have been here these days. And certainly do not take lightly this open door that God has afforded us. And Joe, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving because I'm mad at you. I like to hear you preach. So whatever you preach this morning, preach it at Taylorsville so I don't feel like I missed it. We have been preaching since Sunday morning on the little phrase, unknown here, but well known over there. And it's certainly my desire in this world to run under the radar and to be extremely well known over there. We looked at several. We looked at the little maid of Naaman, the unknown connector. We brought some thoughts on the life of Obadiah, the unknown provider, how he lived right under the nose of Ahab and Jezebel and took care of 100 preachers every day. We looked at Joash, the unknown keeper, lived in cellars and kept the oil of the Holy Ghost for David. And then we looked at Obed-Edom, the unknown man of blessings, took the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, and made it the center point of his home. God blessed him, his children, and his grandchildren, all because he made God the center of his home. We have at our disposal this morning, we could look at a very fascinating one, Paul's nephew. He's not even got a name. The unknown instrument that God used. But I want to turn our attention, if I could, to Acts chapter number 9 this morning. I want to look at a man by the name of Ananias. He is the unknown follower, the unknown follower. The Bible tells us in chapter 9 and verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. This man lived in the shadows of Damascus during the days of Saul's rage on Christians. He was a disciple and follower of Christ right in the midst of Saul cutting their heads off. Extremely unknown in his world, but heaven knew of his existence. He's well known over there. As we unpack this man's life, I'm drawn to the witness who followed. Ananias' name means one whom Jehovah has graciously given. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible. His name's mentioned 8 times in the scriptures. 8 in the Bible is the number of the new birth. God is going to use this precious unknown man as a conduit to finalize the new birth in the life of a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. If God was wanting to do something very important in somebody's life in this area, and he needed somebody to do it that he could count on, would he reach for you as an unknown follower? The Bible says in chapter 9 and verse 10 that he was a certain disciple, certain indicating a particular kind. He was not just a follower. We have a church full of followers of Christ. Ananias was not a follower. He was a wholehearted follower. The Bible said he was a disciple. Very interesting word, disciple. One who studies Jesus passionately and constantly, seeking to be like him. Can you imagine the day when Saul of Tarsus is cutting Christians' heads off? We have a man living in the hidden world of Damascus, constantly studying Jesus, seeking to be like him. Interesting little thought out of Acts chapter 22, if you have the Bible there. We'll flip back and forth between those two texts. In Acts chapter number 22 and verse number 12, it says, "And one Ananias, a devout man, godly, pious, holy." He says he was devout according to the law. According has the idea of laying down beside and making a comparison. To lay Ananias' life down beside the law of God, and he was blameless. God's got a work he wants to get done. Who's he going to reach for? Let's go down there and get that man living in the shadows. Nobody don't know anything about him. Heaven does. He says he was having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there. He was spoke highly of. He had a man of integrity. He was trustworthy. I'm talking about the witness of this follower. Back in Acts chapter number 9, notice the word unto this follower. Two marks this morning of a true disciple, one who is wholeheartedly. In verse 12, one of the marks is God talks to him. I was wondering this morning, God ever say anything to you? You say, you mean he talks to you in your ears? God forbid. Never heard God up here. I've heard him so loud down here, I thought I was hearing him up here speaking to you. How does he speak? Speaks through the Word of God. Any of his messages will always be based on the Word of God. God speaks to wholeheartedly people. What is another mark? This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this. It'll be way over your head. You probably have to have an earned doctor's degree in Bible to get this second one. They respond. Always respond. Here God speaks to him. He gives him a message. What is his response in verse number 10? "I am here, Lord." Lord being Adonai, a master, owner, one who has control over his property and decides the doings and goings of his property. "I am here. I am reporting for duty. I have no questions." Wow. Marks of a true follower of Christ. He's unknown. Nobody around there knows him. Nobody giving him any applause. Good job, that a boy. No. Heaven knowed about him, though. He is going to play a part in the new birth of a man who wrote over half the New Testament. I don't know about you. If I was God and I wanted somebody to be a conduit, you surely don't want to mess that one up. And he didn't even take him down to Rome's Road, the German Road, nor the French Road. Are you listening to me? What was the message? Verse number 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise. It is a term of power, term of resurrection. Oh, Ananias, the job he's going to do, he's going to need resurrection power to do it. He said, arise. Stand up. Go to the street called Straight. Only must there be power, there must be perseverance, there must be principles. The road called Straight, balance of truth. Hear, word unto the follower. I notice in this text there is the weakness of the follower. We all very weak individuals. We all have our little weaknesses. Ananias has showed up. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord. He said, I've heard about this man. He says in verse 13, he says, I've heard that he's evil. Wow. Interesting word there that Ananias has used for evil. Depraved, injurious, harmful, wickedly destructive thinking, feelings, and actions of wickedness. He says in verse number 14, he even binds people, having the idea that he executes them. But here is the thing that takes Ananias' fear away. He says in verse number 12, and he says he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. He says, Ananias, he says, I have told you about him. And he says, I've told him about you. Isn't it amazing how God always works on both ends of a problem? He had Ananias in Damascus, the solution to this problem, long before Paul came riding in on a white steed, thinking he was the chief of saints, only to find that he was the chief of sinners. I was reminded of that here recently, how God always brings solutions before he does problems. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I don't often see no solution before the problem. I tell you why you don't, because you eat slap up with the problem. Get your eyes off the problem, the solution's already there. When we were going through all our difficulties, she was in hospital for 6 days. She had contacted, when I found her unresponsive, no pulse. She had contacted C. diff. I don't know if you know anything about it. It's horrible, horrible. Antibiotics kills all the good bacteria in your body, and all you're left with is bad bacteria. It just disrupts your whole system. The only medicine they had at the Athens Regional Hospital was a liquid medicine. That's all they had. And she couldn't keep it down, throwed it up every time she'd take it. I asked the dreaded disease doctor there in the Athens Hospital if they had any pills for that. She said, I don't think they do. She said, they used to make some. She said, well, we always use that liquid medicine. She said, I'll search. She searched all over the United States. She finally found a pharmaceutical company in Atlanta, Georgia. She needed 20 of them. They wanted $4,000 for them. That's a lot of money. Old boy there in the finance department, he came up there and he told me, he said, with your insurance and with your copay, he said, I can get it down to $1,172. He said, if you'll give me 2 or 3 days, he says, I can find a scholarship fund. He said, I might can get it down a little lower. I asked him, I said, how long does it take them to get them pills over here? He said they can carry them over here in 3 hours. I said, here's my Visa card. I want them pills right now. And you say, well, that was a blessing. He got it down. Oh, it's much bigger than that. That same day that I paid $1,172 for the pills, I went to my post office box in Winterville, Georgia. There was a letter in there. So you know it, there was a letter in that box that day. Somebody had to have mailed it several days prior to that. There was a check in the mail from a church in Salisbury, North Carolina. It had not a clue that I had a problem. Had sent me a check for $1,200. I paid for the pills and had change. How come? God always sends a solution long before the problem. It's exactly what he's done here. It is the breaking point for Ananias. He said, God's been talking to him, been talking to me. But here was the deal breaker for him. He told him in verse number 11, behold, he prayeth. Supplication. And he says he ain't just doing it one time. ETH. He said, since I knocked him off his horse down there, he ain't quit praying. And he said, when you go in and touch him, he'll still be praying. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Oh, it was the deciding point for Ananias to know that God was working on both ends. I see also in our text this morning the wonder for the follower. The Bible says in chapter 9 and verse 17, and Ananias went his way. He's going to do exactly what God told him to do. He's a follower, a wholehearted follower of God. He studied Christ. He's seeking to imitate him. He entered into the house, put his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, he's doing exactly what the Lord told him to do. And it happened just like God told him it would happen. He received his sight and was filled with the Holy Ghost. How? That's all Ananias did. That's all God ever wanted him to do. I love that, don't you? God don't need you. God don't need you to talk. He just needs you to do whatever he tells you to do. I'm talking about the wonder for the follower. But I notice over in chapter 22, and we'll close out over there, Ananias had a message for Paul in verse number 14. You do not have to agree with me. You can be wrong if you like. But in verse number 14, a very short verse, he gives the Apostle Paul the basis of every doctrine that he'll preach on and he'll write on in his life in just a short sentence. Of course, over there at Damascus, Paul has seen the power of God. So it will be no problem once he's been knocked off of his horse thinking he's the chief of saints, only to realize that he's the chief of sinners. It will be no problem for him to later write, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. It is the dynamite. He He said, I remember the day God blowed me off my horse. Power. But he tells him in verse number 14, and he said, the God of our fathers hath, ruh-roh, picked you. He would later lead Paul to write in Ephesians that God had chosen him before the foundation of the world and placed him in Christ. Not only did he say he had picked him, had power, but there was a purpose for his life. Thou shouldest know his will. He would later write that he was apostle, would be one that had both seen and heard Christ. In Galatians, he said, I was separated from my mother's womb and called to be apostle. He said in 2 Corinthians, he's placed me in the family as it pleased the Father. He had a purpose for me. Told him here that he would be a pointer. What? Pointer. He says in verse 15, for thou shalt be his witnesses. The little word there is one who points to the light. He said, Paul, all he wants you to do is point to the light. The little word witness here that Paul has given also is the little Greek word for martyr. He said, Paul, I want you to know right out of the gate. He said, I want you to point to the light with your life. He said, it shall cost you your life to point to the light. No wonder Paul would later say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Of course, he learned, as Ananias was told, behold, he prayeth. No wonder in every book that Paul wrote, he mentioned praying. Matter of fact, in one of his writings, he said to pray without what? Don't stop. Don't stop. But here's the fascinating thing for me. The Bible tells us in chapter number 22, verse 16, there's a little added blessing for this unknown follower. He says, and now while tarriest thou, arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. As far as I can tell, Ananias ain't a preacher. He ain't a deacon. He ain't an elder. But he baptized Paul. What a treat. Can you imagine baptizing the guy that is going to write over half the New Testament? Oh, he was unknown here, but he was extremely well known over there. Oh, how much we miss in this hour when we question how and why and when God speaks to us instead of arising, going, and doing, and being a wholehearted follower of Christ. I love the way the old songwriter said it. Down in the valley with my Savior I will go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Down in the valley with my Savior I will go, where the storms are sweeping, the dark waters flow. With his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Danger cannot frighten me if my Lord is near. Down in the valley upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior, will my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow on. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus everywhere he leads me. I will follow on. Oh, may God raise up amongst us not some followers, but some wholehearted followers. I asked you a question in closing this morning. It's not a trick question. I'm not coming to you. I ain't going to say nothing to you. Just answer the question by raising of your hand. Anybody here this morning, the life of Ananias has helped you this morning about following? Would you keep your hands up? Do you realize that Ananias has been gone over 2,000 years and he's still clipping coupons this morning? If the Lord don't come back, I want to clip coupons even after I'm gone. But you'll probably have to be awfully unknown in this world if you're going to be well known in the world to come. Thank you, Brother Billy, for letting me be here. It's been a blessing. We always love you. Appreciate you.